We're going to hear from God's word now, from Luke chapter 23, verses 50 to 56. Now, the day before yesterday, we looked at the death of Jesus and the reaction of some of his disciples and others that are around him at that time. And we saw as we looked at these people that largely they'd got it wrong. For example, Peter was so confused by the whole thing that he ended up denying that he even knew Jesus three times. On the other hand, the Roman centurion who was overseeing Jesus' execution said as he saw him die, "Surely this man was the Son of God." However, Jesus' death was in perfect harmony with everything that God would say in his that God said would happen according to his plan. It happened just as the Old Testament scriptures said it must, and so his dead body was taken down from the cross and laid in a tomb and sealed with a large stone. Now, it was common for the bodies of executed criminals to be thrown on dumps or buried in shallow graves somewhere. That way, the dogs who had the habit of, in those cultures of in the Middle East, they still do it. They clean up the rubbish tips. They're not the pets that you enjoy here. They're nasty little beasts who clean up the rubbish, and they would have torn the bodies and devoured them. But Jesus didn't suffer this fate. His body didn't suffer that fate. Joseph of Arimathea asked Pontius Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now, Joseph was an important man because he was a member of the Jewish ruling council, the Sanhedrin. That would have been why Pilate granted his request. And we can see by Joseph's action that not every one of the Jews wanted Jesus dead. Now, we know that Jesus was really dead because his death was verified by him being stabbed in the side. So that was a fairly sure way of telling that he was dead. And when the blood had obviously started separating in the normal process, when a death occurs, the water and the blood flowed mingled from his side. So Joseph of Arimathea had to work fast because the day was nearing its end. Now, it was a Friday, so as soon as the sun went down, the Sabbath begins for the Jews. And that would mean that no work could be done. So Joseph wrapped up the body of Jesus in a linen cloth and laid it in a fresh tomb. Now, the women who had followed Jesus, they took note of where Joseph laid the body. They had no time to get ready the necessary spices and perfumes that were required to properly bury a body. They had no time to do that before the Sabbath began, so they simply took note of where he lay, and then they went home. We can see the believers, the followers, I should say, of Jesus, they were still behaving like devout Jews. They remained obedient to the fourth commandment. They kept the Sabbath holy. That meant nothing happened on Saturday, the day after Jesus' crucifixion. The Sabbath officially ended at sundown on Saturday. It still does. And so there's not enough light to go to the tomb and do the work then, of course, on the Saturday evening. So they had to wait until the next day when they could go to the tomb and do the work on the body that's needed. So they waited at home, these women, preparing what was needed to give Jesus a proper burial. And we'll sing our next song now, "Low in the Grave He Lay." Amen. Our next Bible reading is taken from Luke's Gospel, continuing Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, verses 1 to 12. Well, it's easy to think that the women who came to the empty tomb were a bit slow for not immediately working out what had happened. But you can only think this way if you forget the traumatic last few days that had been in their lives. Now, these poor women, along with all the followers of Jesus, had been in a state of confusion since the time of Jesus' arrest, and then on through his execution, and so on. And now, just as they were about to undertake the proper burial ritual, which was a very necessary thing for the grieving process to continue, all of a sudden they're thrown into confusion yet again. When they got to the tomb of Jesus, they found that the stone that had covered the entrance had been rolled away. Now, this may have seemed like a bonus for the women. At least they didn't have to worry about moving the stone themselves. But once they went inside, they saw that Jesus' body wasn't there. And as they were wondering at the situation, two men suddenly appeared beside them in gleaming white clothes. Now, the women took them to be angelic beings of some sort, because immediately they bowed down in fear. The men spoke to them. And the question that they posed the women could be taken as a rebuke. "Why do you seek the living among the dead?" It's almost like, what are you doing here? The question assumed that the women should have known that Jesus would rise. The ladies weren't given any chance to make excuses or ask questions. The angel reminded them of the words that Jesus had spoken to them when he was with them in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. If Jesus had spelled it out so clearly in the past, then why hadn't they understood his arrest and crucifixion up to this point? Perhaps they thought it was simply too good to be true. Perhaps they didn't believe it was possible. Perhaps they didn't understand what was going on. But one thing for sure, they had not taken Jesus at his word. They all thought he must have meant something else because no one expected him to rise from the dead. The disciples of Jesus didn't believe the women's story. As far as they were concerned, the women were just babbling nonsense. Now, Peter did run to the tomb. He found it empty. He found the grave clothes there. But he still couldn't figure it out. And the account leads us to wonder what will happen next. We're left wondering, what's going on? Well, let's sing our next song now. Father, I thank you. Back to chapter 24 of Luke from verses 13 to 35.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village.
Of all the post-resurrection appearances, encounters of Jesus, it's the one on the road to Emmaus that amazes me the most. This encounter shows so clearly the expectations of Jesus' disciples and the confusion they felt. Now, we needn't think that these two men missed seeing Jesus, recognising him for who he is, because they were grief-stricken or because of some other reason. We're quite told quite clearly in the passage they were prevented from recognising Jesus. So, supernaturally, God intervened and prevented them from recognising Jesus. Now, why? Why? Well, probably because if they'd immediately recognised Jesus, they'd have been so full of joy and so excited, they wouldn't have bothered listening to what he had to say next. And what he had to say to them was really important, because it told them about the real need for his death and the real need for his resurrection. But let's see what the disciples said when he asked them to explain their sad demeanour. And they said that Jesus was a prophet, that he was powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. He had been put to death by the leaders of the people, but their hope had been that in Jesus, he would be the one to redeem Israel. He would be the one to bring Israel back to a position of privilege and power as God's chosen nation. And to make matters worse, the two traveling companions continued, some of their women reported a vision of angels at the tomb, but Jesus' body wasn't there. When Jesus learned of the reason for their downcast faces, he was hardly full of sympathy for them. How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken. It's not what you call words of comfort, are they? How dumb are you? Okay. And why did Jesus deliver such a firm rebuke to his disciples? He said because they hadn't listened to what the scriptures said about him. Not in their own reading of the scriptures, or in Jesus explaining the scriptures to them. Jesus set about setting them straight by explaining the scriptures to them. And we can see he just didn't give them a few proof texts. He began with Moses, the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Okay, so that's where he started. He started with Moses, and then he went into the prophets of the Old Testament, and Jesus explained what these things taught about himself. And we can see that Jesus' words brought a change in these two disciples. They changed from men who were moping along with downcast faces to men who were keen to hear more. And they urged Jesus to come and stay with them. Only as Jesus broke bread with them at their table were they allowed to recognise him. And then, immediately, he left their presence. And they said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked to us and opened the scriptures to us?" Wouldn't you like to be in the same position, in that position, where these two disciples were, walking along the road, listening to Jesus? Wouldn't you like to feel yourself moved to the core of your spirit as Jesus opened the scriptures to you? It sounds great. We'll say, yes, I'd like to be there, but you know, you can do that right now. We can do that now. We tend to think the disciples were in such a privileged position to have seen Jesus face to face. But the truth is, that didn't help them understand what was going on. Didn't seem to help them when they really needed it. What lifted these two followers of Jesus from their downcast state was having the scriptures explained to them. They had spent years in the presence of the Messiah, but they'd not understood the scriptures. And not understanding the scriptures. I mean, they'd been with in the Messiah, he'd been talking about those scriptures, but until they understood and realised they were true, did they appreciate why Jesus had come and what he could do for them. And it's a lesson that we need to learn ourselves. We have the scriptures before us, they are easy to get a hold of. If you can't afford to buy one, you can download one on your phone for nothing. Okay, so we have the scriptures before us. And we have the scriptures in a more complete manner than the disciples of Jesus' day. We have the teaching of Jesus that brings out the message of the Old Testament. In the Bible, we'll learn things that will make our hearts burn within us as we draw nearer to God, but only if we have the helper that the Lord Jesus said he would leave for his disciples. And that is the Holy Spirit, our counselor and comforter. We need the Holy Spirit of God if we're going to understand what the scriptures have to teach us. So make sure you ask God to help you, the author of the Bible, to help you as you read God's word. He tells us he won't withhold his spirit from those who truly seek him. Well, we can see the two disciples couldn't keep the good news of their encounter with Jesus to themselves. They'd spent all that time walking to Emmaus, 7 miles, 11 kilometres, say. They just rushed straight back to Jerusalem. Okay? I'm not rushing 7 miles anywhere. But this is what they did. Yeah, they just rushed back to Jerusalem. They couldn't hold it in. As soon as they caught up with the 11 disciples, the 11 apostles, they found out that they weren't the only ones to see the risen Jesus. He had appeared by that time to Simon Peter as well. Still, they told their story and they rejoiced together. So let's rejoice with them as we sing our next song. Jesus Christ is risen today. Jesus Christ. Well, our final Bible reading this morning is taken from Luke's Gospel. We're going to continue on reading from verse 36 through to verse 49. Well, despite the fact that the disciples were coming to an understanding that Jesus had risen from the dead, they were still surprised when Jesus appeared among them yet again. We can see that Jesus had quite a job convincing them that he was real, and that they were not being deceived. He showed them his hands and feet so they could see his wounds received in his crucifixion. He was showing that he wasn't an imposter. The disciples were so filled with joy and amazement they couldn't believe what they saw. So Jesus asked for food and ate it so they could see that his presence was real. Ghosts don't eat broiled fish. Ghosts don't eat. Okay, so once his disciples' amazement had settled down and they'd adjusted to the fact of his resurrection, Jesus reminded them of what he'd told them before. Jesus told them that everything the Old Testament said about him, the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds so they could understand what the scriptures said. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sin will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, there's some things we need to take note of this. Firstly, Jesus said that the whole of the Old Testament, he saw it as pointing to him and his mission. In this, we see the importance of the Old Testament, of the Bible, for the Christian. It's not to be discarded as outdated or superseded, but it's to be read in the light of what we learn from the New Testament, as it helps us understand more clearly everything about Jesus. There's a habit that's come up recently of people referring to the Old Testament as the Jewish Scriptures or the Jewish Bible. don't fall for it. There's an effort there to sort of divide it off as though it doesn't really, you know, we have no right, no claim to it. The Old Testament scriptures point to the New. And if you want to try it sometime, read the New Testament, and then read the Old Testament, and you'll keep seeing the echoes of the Old Testament and what it predicts fulfilled in the life of Jesus and in the teachings of his apostles. Secondly, the disciples needed help so they could understand what the Bible taught about Jesus. And Jesus opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. Now, I mentioned earlier that we need the Holy Spirit if we're going to understand what the Bible has to teach us. What we need to do each time we approach God's word is to pray that our Lord will open our minds so we can grasp the riches of what his word has to teach us. Do you have trouble understanding or accepting something of what the Bible teaches or says? Then ask God to open your mind to enlarge its capacity to learn about him. Now, many people will tell you that reading and believing the Bible indicates a narrowness of mind, but Jesus indicated by his actions true wisdom, true knowledge about this world, about its creator, comes from the Bible. And only with God's help can we fully appreciate its teaching. And the third and final point I want to draw from this section comes from what Jesus said once he had opened his disciples' minds to understand. Jesus spoke of his death and resurrection, and then he spoke of the repentance and forgiveness of sins being preached to all nations in his name. Now, what we have in those few words of Jesus is the core of our faith, the core of the gospel. Jesus is the center of it all. His death and resurrection paved the way for repentance and forgiveness of sins to be preached. Jesus' death demonstrates the seriousness of sin in God's sight. It shows us the need to repent, to turn away from that sin. Jesus' death pays the price for our forgiveness. And Jesus' resurrection from the dead demonstrates that he really is the perfect Son of God. And the death he died was effective in buying our forgiveness. And his resurrection also points to our own glorious resurrection that we can look forward to if our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance and forgiveness of sin can only be preached in Jesus' name, because there is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ alone, who alone was raised from death to glory for our salvation. So put your trust in Jesus, because all other hopes will fail you. Jesus has won victory, the victory, over sin and death. So please don't turn your back on God's only way of salvation. Give your life to Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord, may we realise afresh today what your death and resurrection means for us. Forgiveness, freedom, and the ability to walk with you through this fallen world into eternity. May we always find our satisfaction in you and your willingness to offer yourself for us. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.